Yo, welcome back to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I am your host, Jerome. Thanks again for tuning in. It's been a while since I have actually posted a podcast or even spoke on a whole lot of things because I've been, you know, enjoying myself. And I have unplugged from a whole lot of empowerment conversations, a whole lot of political conversations, a whole lot of social issues, racism, politics, you know, just, it's a lot to unpack. And I wanted to try to focus on some of the things that I was talking about in my own personal life. You know, we all have struggles, and I always try to do better. So here we are, RIP Tyre Nichols. And disclaimer, I did not watch the video. But from what I've been understanding is that there were 5 police officers that beat a black man to death. In Memphis, Tennessee, on a corner. And in this scenario, the situation just doesn't hit the same to me. And I'm going to be honest, if it was 5 white men or 5 Hispanic men that did this, then we would be in an outrage. As we should be now. If you all are a constant listener to my podcast, or if you've heard any of my podcast, one of the main things that I always say is that we as a people need to take time to refocus on our foundation, refocusing on getting to know each other, refocusing on problem solving, and having peaceful conversations and interactions with each other in our community versus spending time on the feminist movement, spending time on the alphabet or LGBTQ community, or spending time on the Democratic Party, or spending time on the Republic Party, or spending time talking about the wage and gender pay scale gap. Whatever problem there is in the United States, African Americans always are in some part lead an actual charge in regards to speaking on this, in regards to having forums and all of this, you know, and somehow they relate these things to the common everyday scenario that's going on in our community. But when it really comes down to the true things that matter, such as black girls that are coming missing, it doesn't correlate with these things that we're leading the charge with. When it comes down to the poor conditions that black boys are being raised in, it doesn't correlate. When it comes down to black people not being married, it does not correlate. When it comes down to the suicide rate that has skyrocketed, it doesn't correlate. When it comes down to black health, it does not correlate, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes down, now, see, here's when we're going to get into the meat of the conversation. When it comes down to black on black crime, because what we witnessed, or what the public has seen, was a black on black crime. And see, the situations and conversations that get me pissed off, we have these intellectuals that have PhDs and master's degrees and all of these types, these free thinkers that are out here. They're quote unquote saying that they are leaders of our community and they have so much of knowledge and so much of education. They would look and say that black on black crime is natural. And they start to, you know, compare black on black crime to other races and other situations and say, hey, look at them. They're doing it. It's the most dumb, asinine, stupid thing that I've ever heard. I talked about the fact that as another black man, you should be able to be to go into communities where other black people are at without these people knowing you and go to the gas station and be good. Not to say that people should invite you into their homes and, you know, introduce you to their families, but you should be able to go into another community of black people and not have to worry about your life being taken. See, because here's what's going on now. And I'm going to let you know something. Who's talking about the no snitching rule now? Nobody. Where are all the gangsters that were like, hey, man, you know what? Just let it ride. Black people get killed every day. See, I'm not only going to come at these intellectuals like I just did. I'm going to talk about the regular mindset. And I'm going to let black people know that we are being misled by outside forces that we don't even know. Or maybe it's not even outside forces. Maybe it's our own doing. See, when there is a racial component involved, then we want to point out racism. But we never want to pull that mirror over and just say, you know what? Forget racism. We're not going to focus on that right now. We're going to focus on us and clean up our own toxic attitudes. Oh. Our own trust issues in regards to trusting each other. We tell people all the time that black people can't do business with black people, that our establishments are horrible, that our communities are horrible, that it's unclean, that it's unsafe. Well, hell, what are we gonna do about it? Ed Reed just embarrassed Bethune-Cookman for the world to see. And even though he was right, he doesn't really think in his mind. Well, I'm not going to say he doesn't think, but some people don't think in his mind what he did was wrong. Now, I don't know Ed Reed's track record. To me, I think Ed Reed is a great man, great person, hell of a football player. But when it came down, and his heart was in the right place, when it came down to helping his people, his ego got in the way. And then, on top of that, the leadership at Bethune-Cookman, because the man wasn't lying, their ego got in the way, and they didn't even want to work things out, and they fired the guy. So now here we are. Ed Reed and Shannon Sharpe is going back and forth. And they like, yeah, don't come at me like that. And you're going to have to see me. You know what? Hold up, man. We don't got no time for this bullshit. Because we wonder why these kids are acting out and saying an eye for an eye. And saying that, you know, if we going to spin, if you going to spin, we going to spin again and spin again. Because guess what? This is what we show toward each other. So that Tyree Nichols scenario, self-hate at its best, at its finest, rooted in pure evil. You want to know why? Because we don't know how to handle power. Those policemen had and were in an absolute position of power. They abused it. These communities, these neighborhoods that are being ran, or so they think, they have a false entitlement of power, just like those police did. See, we really don't know what it is. So when we get it, when we get a position, we abuse it anyway. We don't know what absolute power is. We don't know how to handle responsibility. Just like these people around here in these communities that I was just speaking about, who saying, oh, you got to check in with us when you come in. Really and truly, they have no power. They're implementing this on black people. If somebody else that comes in that's not among black people that are famous, they don't give a damn. And it's a way for them to implement a false sense of power. But the feds could come in and take these people right out. They don't have any true power. This is why I'm saying that in our community, we have to come together. We got black women out here saying that they hate black men. We have black women out here that's saying, and this is no lie, you could, that they feel empowered when they break up their family. You could look. It's true. I'm not going to, well, let's just name somebody. This is public record. I'm not speaking allegedly. Tia Mowry said that she compared her marriage and her divorce as a stint through high school. But we want to sit back and think that we're going to be able to go against a racist society. That we're going to be able to rise above. What? Are you kidding me? These people don't really have to do anything because we're self-destructing. There are prominent people, or so they think that they're prominent when they start making the $75,000 a year. All of a sudden, that property that was right around the corner that's quote unquote considered the black community from you, you're too good for that. So guess what? The first thing that you do, you want to go out into the suburbs and say, oh, things are a lot better there. Until these people start harassing you and calling the police on you and following your children. Oh, yeah, they do it all the time. I'm not lying. Yeah. We know that cancel culture doesn't work for us. Look at how they did Kyrie Irving over a Twitter post. We're being minimized out here, but we don't want to fight the real thing. We have people coming at our children in schools. They're not trying to educate them on how to be a better English student, on how to be a better math student, on how to balance a checkbook. They're coming to them and saying, hey, we don't want you to think that you're a girl anymore. You're a boy. But yet and still, we have these people out here saying, you know what? I work at McDonald's and I'm getting to the bag. Meaning I'm out here making, you're not. We perish because of lack of knowledge, and we perish because we're not together. We're scattered all over the place. I want to remind you all that that woman in Atlanta, that district attorney, as soon as she got in there, she targeted the most famous rappers in Atlanta. And she labeled them a gang. And they had already been watching these people for 10 years. This is a black woman. Didn't have any mercy on these people. Some of these people got 20 years probation and they never did nothing. And they were never caught doing nothing. And they were trying to throw the book at these people. But yet and still, we had a group of people in Michigan that tried to assassinate the governor. They had plans to assassinate the governor. See, what that black woman did, the reason why I'm trying to let y'all know what's going on and I'm making this example, she has a false sense of power. And it's no way possible that you can equate what Young Thug and a hip hop rap group was trying to do versus what those people did or attempted to do in Michigan. They're not going to receive life in jail. Some of them may. But they're not nearly the amount of coverage and the amount of things that you see on social media. It's not even being talked about. But this lady, we have this lady, she's trying to throw the book. I mean, I could see if these people were caught with a large amount of narcotics. They didn't catch him with nothing. They went to Young Thug crib and found some guns that he didn't even shoot. They found some drugs that he was doing. I don't want to get off track here. We have black men in our community that call themselves alpha males, or this is the alpha male term, but I'm just speaking about the black community. And so to speak, they speak down on weaker black men. Why? First of all, it's dumb. Everybody is not created equal. But in order for our men as a group to move forward, then there needs to have going to be some respect and camaraderie in regards to how we move. I promise you publicly, you won't hear this from other groups of people. where there's a subgroup of men publicly that are coming down on the other part of the group. This causes division within our own. We use different things to enhance our personality. For men, it's clothes, cars, money, women. But when it really comes down to morals and goals, and who's really a leader? When these things start to strip off, when they take the chain off, or even the education in some scenarios, and a lot of scenarios, are you really able to lead men? This is why Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X was so revered. This is why Booker T. Washington was so revered. Yeah. Marcus Garvey was so revered because they were able to lead. W.E.B. Du Bois was so revered because he was a leader. These people were articulate. They weren't running around here talking about, you know, we get money. We fucking these hoes. We out here trying to kill people. We're out here saying that. This is the reason why the whole no snitching thing, we need to come out and be honest. The no snitching rule came from back in the day when people were going outside of the community, or they had establishments within the community. They were viewed as illegal. And when the police came, didn't nobody tell on them, because they understood that the establishment also supported the community financially. This didn't mean that if some dude came up, you know, with a Draco trying to shoot at somebody and hit three other people, oh, you can't tell on them. See, this is the reason why in certain scenarios, these OGs out here, they ain't shit. Because, see, they still hold this stuff up over people's head and over our community to be like, you know what? Nah, man, that's lame. That's whack. That's weak. That's this. It's this. But you know what? How is it, if you actually sit down with them and ask them, you know, well, how is this advancing our people? I promise you, they would have a hard time explaining it, because no one has never put them under that lens and be like, you know what? Okay, bro, we understand this, this, and this. But you know what? Is it really advancing our people as a whole? Is this Crip shit and this blood shit, is it really advancing our people? Are the vice lords and gangster disciples, are they really advancing our people? The answer to that is no. What this is doing is that it's making other black men and women targets when they go to different areas. And this also builds up a mental hate. That's full of turmoil. How could you hate somebody that you've never even seen? That you don't know really. And here's the only time that these men, you can listen on YouTube, you can consider this on Facebook, you can research the scenario. These are the only time that these black men have a chance to bond and communicate. And even in this situation, check this out, they still are fighting each other. When they should be unified the most is in the god dang on prison system. You hear them talk about it. How the solidarity of races, the white race has a gang, the white supremacists, they have a gang in the prison, the Mexicans, they have a gang. See, for the most part, all of these people are together based upon a cultural foundation. When it gets down to the blacks, you know what? They got to separate themselves. Yeah. The Crips are over here, the Bloods are over here, the GDs are over here, the Vice Lords are over there. So if something even happens, then all of them all of a sudden have to bond together to go ahead and outflank the other race. And then that's when they find out, well, oh man, you know what? This dude right here is pretty solid. Or if they're in a cell with each other, or if they're on the same cell block and they have to depend on each other for what? Survival. See, right now, we're not, black people are not in full survival mode. So this is the reason why it's really easy for a black woman to say that she doesn't need a black man. Because it's not based on survival. I was having a conversation with one of my friends and he was like, well, you know, we also need to thrive. The first thing that we need to do, I don't give a damn what nobody say, is learn how to survive. Because when your numbers are going down consistently, you're not surviving. Nor thriving. When we can actually look in our society on today's date and we understand and we look at the wealth gap, let's just say, for instance, this, from a survival standpoint, generational wealth that's passed down, when we're at almost negative $1,400 compared to other different counterparts, to Asians, whites, we're not surviving, nor are we thriving. When we start to look at the, you know, our longevity as far as living, our lifespan, when that shit starts to come down, we're not surviving. When we, there are studies, it was just a study that came out today, and I forgot the name of the study, please forgive me. But it stated that we're not being fully diagnosed properly. I think it's in regards to strokes. I'm sorry. You know, because I just don't like to say things that I think. But I've seen this today. We don't have enough black doctors. We don't have enough black economists. We don't have enough black farms. We don't have enough of anything. But we know what we do have enough of? When it's time to protest, when it's time to riot, when it's time to loot, we have enough energy for that. And it's gotten to a point now to where they can be like, well, okay, well, you know what, we can stand that. Because you know what, we're gonna surround them by guns anyway. So if something happens, it's gonna be a total onslaught, slaughter. This is not a show of power. Really and truly, when people boycott and do all of this type of stuff, really and truly it's falling right into their hands. If they really wanted to, they could open fire on thousands of black people at one time and kill them all in one space. Let's be honest here. Our leadership is broken. It is out of control. Our thought process is out of control. It is way off. There was a time that we could actually coach our children. And we used to make fun of how the white kids talk to their parents. We can't say that anymore. There was a time that we controlled our children's diet. Not anymore. Our kids tell us what they want to eat and what we're going to eat. And what we can and can't do. I've seen it. This is something that's being witnessed. If I'm lying, you know what? Somebody check me. If I'm being disingenuous, somebody check me. This is the reason why there's no real outrage amongst Tyree. Because we're used to seeing black people get killed by other black people all the time. It doesn't matter if they're a police or not. And it's fucking fake outrage. It's fake. Where's the Black Lives Matter movement now? I've been told y'all that shit was fraud. Because you want to know why? Because the Black Lives Matter movement only matters when somebody is being killed by another race, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, y'all didn't know? Yeah. Street gangs and street culture is still evolving day after day in our community. Our men can't even get together and just say, hey, look, wherever these drugs are coming from, Asians, whites, Hispanics, wherever they're coming from, we don't want those drugs here. They're killing our children. Our men will not be able to say that because we are not bonded together. What are you talking about? These people have total control over us. Now they've gotten to a point to where they're telling us right in front of our face, you know what, hey, look, we can squeeze you out at any given time. Dallas, Texas was a place where black people from the South went to thrive, to start their life. Atlanta, Georgia, Los Angeles, California, Chicago, Illinois, New York City. These were urban hubs where black people went to start their lives. It had a thriving black community. But you know what's going on now? With the lack of investment from our own black-owned institutions, from our own black people, we have let outside investors come in. Now these places are not the same anymore. We have no power. But at the same time, we want to continue to enforce this false sense of empowerment on our own people. That's why the Tyre Nichols situation is so bad. Because we don't want to talk about what's really going on. We want to continue to think that America is a democracy and that we can vote our way, whether it's state, whether it's local, whether it's national, we can vote our way out of our problems. That's a lie. We can't. We're constantly, and you know what, even me. Newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, I was one of the main people that was blasting the government. Saying, you know what, how much they should give HBCUs and all of this, and they deserve the money and XYZ, which they do. But think about this. This is something that I introduced, even with Ed Reed. I was calling out the black billionaires and the billionaires and saying that there was enough of them to contribute and fix the problem. My mind has changed, y'all. This is the reason why my mind has changed. We have to do these things as a group. I'm going to lay an example out here. There's about 14 million black people within the United States. I'm going to say just an estimate. I don't know, but it's just an estimate. But just hear me out. Let's just say about 8 million of those people are actually working or getting some sort of income. We can just choose the working people, not the ones that's on SSI, not the ones that's getting government assistance, this and this. Let's just say, so now we're going to say that that's about 5 million people. Now the unemployment rate says, you know what, I'm going to give it a good 6 million. Even with those numbers, we see that there's a problem with employment, but that's a whole nother conversation. Let's just say, for instance, out of those 6 million people, if every week there is a voluntary option of 30 cents a voluntary option of 30 cents to come out of their paycheck. Not to even mention if it was a dollar, but 30 cents every week, every pay period. I'm going to say, but you know what, that's probably about $1.2 million per week. Per week. So within a month, $1.20 can almost generate almost $5 million. My math may be off. About $5 million, roughly about $5 million. Do you know within 3 to 4 years the issues that are going on with HBCUs are resolved? Now, just think about this. If we had that same model to build hospitals, to create a food source, to buy the block, to buy the hood. We would really be something to be reckoned with. But see, these are the things, these are the conversations that we're not having. And you want to know why? Because it's too much boss shit going on. It's too much of these people around here. You know what? They wearing these fake ass diamonds that they paying $300,000 for. They getting scammed. And yes, I'm pointing out some rappers. But other people that are self-righteous, saying how much they save and doing all this. It's us as a group of people. We're failing as a group. We don't want to have these conversations. Because you want to know why? Because it gives accountability to our actions and how we spend our money now. And then we would actually have to be in a room thinking on how we're going to go from one project to the next to the next. And think about this, just to go deeper. Think about how big of an impact just 30 cents a week can cause in regards to business opportunities for Black owned businesses when they're doing these construction projects at these HBCUs. So while we're constantly begging for government contracts, we create our own contracts. While we're constantly begging for opportunities through, man, I'm not even exactly sure if we even use this word anymore, affirmative action. It never worked for Black people. Let's be honest. It never did. We could create these opportunities for ourselves if we really want to do it. But it's going to take us as a group. That's the reason why I'm saying that the billionaires and the millionaires won't work, because it's only a certain amount of them. See, this is the real, real raw shit that no one wants to talk about. We're too busy out here getting scammed by record labels. Yeah, we're too busy out here getting scammed by Wells Fargo and Bank of America. When that money that we have could be fertilizing Black banks all across the nation. Are you serious? See, nobody wants to talk about that, because guess what? It's not what's on the table. What's on the table is that Black men cheat. What's on the table is that kids eat first. What's on the table is that Black women over 35 with children are not worth anything. These are the conversations that are out here having, that people are out here having, instead of what I'm talking about. The conversations that are on the table is that, you know what? Sometimes it be your own family. And that you have to move on from your family in order to grow. That's a lie. You shouldn't have to do that. And if we're in a situation where that even though we know that if we're going into business, that we're not protecting ourselves in business and we're putting all the trust in one person. And that's what's bringing the business down. So that means you don't love your own brother or sister. Maybe they can't be the vice president, but they can be a hell of a supervisor. Hence the scenario of what I'm saying in regards to all people are not created equal. All men are not created equal. Now, see, those five black men now, I bet that they were wishing that they had compassion for that young man and treated him like a human being. Now what they're doing is they're trying to focus on their foundation. The foundation that's lost. The foundation that we've allowed to be uplifted from us. Right from under us. And they slipped a whole nother foundation up under us. That's not their fault. I would expect white supremacists to do another black man like that. But now, damn near, you got to expect black people to do black people like that. We see it all the time. Am I surprised that they did that boy like that? No. But I know one thing, they're going to be held accountable. Because see, now we're dealing with the penal system and the legal system. Yeah, they're going to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. It ain't no bullshit going on with them. You ain't going to see that situation like Orlando, like that dude in New York that was trying to sell cigarettes. Or like that dude that was in Baton Rouge. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they could. Oh, you better believe that they are going to be made an example out of. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And if I was their families, I would get up and leave now. See how selfish? All based off of a false sense of entitlement. You didn't put your whole, they didn't put their whole family in danger. Memphis is no place to be playing around with, man. If you make somebody mad in Memphis, you know what you better believe. You better know what you're doing down there. See, we have to go to these places and we have to start doing a psychoanalysis on why when these people get so mad that they choose to destroy and hurt their own people. New Orleans is another place like it. California, Los Angeles, California is another place like it. When black men get mad at other black men, they choose to destroy them. What is our problem? No one wins in this situation. Only thing I wish is that little boy was back here, man. It's hard losing a man. It's hard. You see? We're not talking about putting our men and women in better positions, not in the corporate scenario. In a black scenario. Yeah. We're not saying, well, okay, so what opportunities can black people provide for themselves? How can we raise money for ourselves? Y'all. Ain't nobody talking about that. Ain't nobody talking about how other black men could protect black men to protect your manhood. Who's talking about that? To protect your self-dignity? Who is really talking about that? Nobody. Well, if they are talking about it, they're not being heard. I know some of y'all are probably going to gawk at this and think that I'm talking a whole bunch of noise. But trust and believe. If it's really, really true what they say, that what you've done in the past will come back to the future. We missed a boat somewhere because the kids that were young, that were misguided, that were unraised, they also had kids right now. We're looking at almost a second generation that's coming through right now, maybe even third. For people that were born in the 70s and 80s, it is our turn to step up and get this thing right. It really is. Y'all think about these phrases, these words, these examples, these assumptions. Some of them are assumptions. If I'm wrong, you know what? Hey, blast me. Post this anyway. Call me to sit on your show. It ain't nothing. VirtualHustle77@gmail.com. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Virtual Hustle. You could follow me. I don't do anything on Twitter at this point in time. I'm not active on Instagram. Thornton Media, you could shoot me a message. Jerome Thornton on Facebook. Probably not going to see any of these things that I'm talking right now because I got other things going on. But I just cannot help but to come and tell the damn truth. Thanks again for tuning in today.